May the Lord help us to commence by singing hymn number 20. Ere the blue heavens were stretched abroad, from everlasting was the Word. With God he was, the Word was God, and must divinely be adored. Hymn number 20.
Oh, from the holy word of God. Let us turn to read this evening in the prophecy of Isaiah, reading chapter 61 and the first 9 verses of chapter 63. The prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 61. And then the first 9 verses of chapter 63. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And they shall build the old wastes, they shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations. And strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of the alien shall be your ploughmen and your vine dressers. But ye shall be named the priests of the Lord. Men shall call you the ministers of our God. Ye shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory shall ye boast yourselves. For your shame ye shall have double, and for confusion they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore in their land they shall possess the double. Everlasting joy shall be unto them. For I, the Lord, love judgment. I hate robbery for burnt offering. And I will direct their work in truth. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them. And their seed shall be known among the Gentiles, and their offspring among the people. All that see them shall acknowledge them, that they are the seed which the Lord hath blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. For he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. And as the earth bringeth forth her bud, and as the garden causeth the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. Chapter 63. Who is this that cometh from Edom with dyed garments from Bozrah? This that is glorious in his apparel, travelling in the greatness of his strength. I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Wherefore art thou red in thine apparel, and thy garments like him that treadeth in the winefat? I have trodden the winepress alone, and of the people there was none with me. For I will tread them in mine anger, and trample them in my fury, and their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments, and I will stain all my raiment. For the day of vengeance is in mine heart, and the year of my redeemed is come. And I looked, and there was none to help, and I wondered that there was none to uphold. Therefore mine own arm brought salvation unto me, and my fury it upheld me. And I will tread down the people in mine anger, and make them drunk in my fury, and I will bring down their strength to the earth. I will mention the loving kindnesses of the Lord, and the praises of the Lord, according to all that the Lord hath bestowed on us, and the great goodness toward the house of Israel, which he hath bestowed on them, according to his mercies, and according to the multitude of his loving kindnesses. For he said, surely they are my people, children that will not lie. So he was their Saviour. In all their affliction he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity he redeemed them, and he bare them and carried them all the days of old. May the Lord bless unto us the reading of his holy and sacred word, and may he help us now to pray. O thou most holy and sovereign Lord God, the ruler of the heavens and the earth, even such as we, O Lord, do help us to fall before thee now at this evening hour, confessing our sin and pleading the name and the sin-atoning blood of Jesus. And Lord, may we be recipients of thy mercy. Lord, be mindful of us here tonight, and rule our hearts by thy Spirit. Lord, do open them and speak thy word of truth unto each one of us. Lord, may it be profitable that we have been up to the house of God. Lord, we need that profit for our souls. Lord, we need spiritual prosperity, for there is so much in our earthly lives to bring us into despair. So much, Lord, to hide thee from our sight. So much to harden our hearts. So much to stir up the spirit of unbelief, and all that casts dishonour upon thy name, and that which contradicts thy gracious word. And Lord, thou knowest how much of that has arisen and occurred in our own hearts today. through the pathway of life, the duties, the responsibilities, the cares and the concerns. Lord, we confess thou art not in all our thoughts. And we solemnly, Lord, read in thy word concerning the wicked, that thou art not in all their thoughts. But Lord, come in the power of thy Spirit. And maybe there will be those moments, Lord, when we think upon Christ. Consider him who endured the cross. And we, guilty sinners, deserving endless misery, yet with that blessed gift of faith, to look unto him who was pierced, the Saviour of sinners, and there, Lord, to find those moments rich in blessing, which before thy cross are spent. Oh, do confirm, Lord, our interest in the dear Redeemer's blood, there to shelter by faith, that blood to cleanse from all sin. And Lord, what a multitude of sins and transgressions there are within us each, and they only increase. But oh, to know that sacred truth, that sweet voice of confirmation, I am he, that blotteth out all thy transgressions for my name's sake, and will remember thy sins no more. Lord, may that be the prayer of many who are found here tonight. And Lord, not only hear their prayers for mercy, but grant it to them. So, Lord, we ask thy blessing upon us. We've read a portion of thy holy word. Lord, it testified of Jesus and his saving work. Lord, may that word abide in our hearts. May it be written in the fleshy tables of our hearts. May it be our joy and our rejoicing above all other things. O Lord, we have need of thee at all times. And although we are fickle and false, and we backslide and we depart, and our iniquities hide thee from our face, our sins, Lord, or they hide thy face from us, yet, Lord, never let us go. Do hold us fast. Draw us to that wounded side. And there may we abide, Lord, ever seeking thy mercy and thy grace, thy help in the time of our needs. Lord, thou knowest how we've come here tonight. Oh, we pray, Lord, thou wilt not send us empty away. May there be something, Lord, from thy word which is for our good, for the profit of our souls, something to strengthen us for life's pathway that is before us. For we know not what another day may bring forth. Lord, may there be something to help bear temptations and tribulations. For thou art faithful who hath said thou wilt not let thy people be tempted above what they're able to bear, but will with the temptation give that way to escape that they are able to bear it. Lord, that does not mean to say thou wilt take it all away. But oh, when we pass through the waters, through those fires, through those difficulties, those troubles, those anxieties and cares, thou hast said, They will not overflow thee. They will not destroy thee. They will not burn thee. For I am the Lord God and thy Saviour, and thou art with us. O Lord, so may we prove what the hymn writer said, Israel, passing through the fire, thou art with them. Lord, thou knowest each case before thee here tonight, individually and collectively. Lord, in the families, in the businesses, Lord, in the church, in the matters of our nation. Oh Lord, wherever we look, we need thine appearing. And we pray, Lord, that thy pardoning love may overrule our unworthiness, and thou wilt supply all our need and deliver us from the powers of evil, and strengthen us in the times of temptation, that we do not bring any disgrace or dishonour upon thy name or thy word of truth. We pray, Lord, thou wilt shed abroad within our hearts thy redeeming love by the Holy Ghost. And may that love, Lord, constrain us not only to believe, but to confess with our mouths thy salvation. O Lord, help us to live unto thee, to the honour and glory of thy name, in all we say, in all we think, and in all we do. Lord, do bless the young people and the children. Lord, we commend them to thee. May they grow into the sweet knowledge of thy grace. Lord, may they come to know thy mercy and love unto their souls. Lord, do raise them up as those true followers of thee. Lord, make them fruitful. And Lord, we pray that they may be able to also give that testimony of thy mercy, that there be a continuation of thy visible church in this our land, or wherever thou dost lead them to go. O Lord, do send out yet further ones whom thou shalt use to the honour and glory of thy name, in the membership of churches, in the office bearing of deacons and ministers, pastors. O Lord, how we need thee to appear, to provide for the needs of thy people in these ways, in this evil day. And Lord, those mothers in Israel, Lord, those tender-hearted ones that give wise counsel, bearing one another before thee in the bosom of prayer. O Lord, who bless thy churches with such godly, gracious, spirit-taught increases. And Lord, may it be so here. Bless thy word of truth, Lord, each one, Lord, that is engaged to preach here, make them the messengers in thy message. We ask thy blessing, Lord, upon all that was attended to on the last Lord's day. Lord, may it not have been a word in vain. May it not have returned unto thee void, but may it have accomplished that which thou doth please, and may it have prospered in the thing to which thou didst send it. O Lord, who bless the labours of those thy servants thou hast sent forth, and may there be the confirming of the word with signs following, as one and another proclaims the name of Jesus Christ and the truth in his saving work. Lord, remember us all in whatever estate we are found. Lord, remember those that have family responsibilities. Lord, who help them in bringing up their children Give them all needed grace, all needed wisdom, all needed patience and perseverance. And Lord, do grant fruits to those labours as they commit them unto thee in prayer. O Lord, do maintain these families on earth. Lord, do glorify thee. And Lord, in thee churches together, oh, do bind together in the love of the truth, determined to know nothing amongst them save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Remember those in business, Lord, and help them in these difficult days, in their occupations. Lord, lead them forth aright in these days of much ungodliness and fraud and dishonesty. Lord, we pray thou wilt bless them in their deeds. And Lord, may be a witness to many others of the hope that is within them. And Lord, could it be thy will, even you, such a witness, through the blessing of thy Spirit to the good of sinners' souls. Lord, remember any who are for sickness or weakness of body. Lord, feeling weakness maybe through older age, Lord, we commend them to thee. That although the body, the flesh, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, Lord, may they know that within them the word, thy word, upon which thou hast caused them to hope, shall never weaken. Lord, that strength to remain within them of that hope of eternal life, through Jesus Christ. Lord, remember any that are bereaved of loved ones. For these times, Lord, are bound to come. And Lord, they are grieving. When we know we shall not see or touch or embrace a loved one again upon this earth. But, O Lord, do bestow thy love. May they know thine embrace. Lord, may they know thy mercy and thy voice to the comfort of their souls. A confirmation that they are thine and thou art theirs. Lord, thou art the God of all comfort and the Father of all mercies. May we prove this continually as we get older in our lives. For we know not, Lord, when they will end, but the end is before us each. O Lord, do not let us lose sight of our latter end. We know not when it may come, we know not what another day may bring forth. But Lord, when that day comes, we take our last breath. Oh, may we see no man save Jesus only. Lord, may we be lost in wonder, love and praise. May we know that our last end shall be in peace through what Christ hath done for our souls. So, Lord, do give us those evidences now. Confirm our interest in the shed blood of Christ. Open thy precious word of truth to us, Lord, even tonight. Oh, and may there be, Lord, the power of thy Spirit attending thy word. Deliver us, Lord, in these times of evil. Lord, these times of great ungodliness and determination by evil ones to bring more ungodliness into the general life and standards of this land. Lord, do overturn them. Hear our humble cry. Lord, do preserve thy people. Do not let our liberties be removed from us. And may thy word, Lord, be able to be proclaimed in all its fullness without let or hindrance. And so we pray for the Trinitarian Bible Society, who publishes thy word. Lord, we commend them to thee at this time. Lord, help them in all that they undertake to do, in the translations, the publications, the distributions. Oh, Lord, to give them all the needed resources and give them, Lord, all the help by thy Spirit, that the work that they undertake is owned and blessed by thee and shall be used to the saving of many souls throughout this world. Lord, we commend them to thee. Hear their own prayers and prayers put up for them. And we pray for the auxiliaries also that seek, Lord, to carry on that work in the local areas. Lord, do use thy word of truth to the quickening of many souls. Hear us, Lord, in heaven, thy dwelling place. And when thou hearest, do forgive. We ask all these things in the name of Jesus and for his sake alone. Amen.
Hymn number 860. From poisonous errors, pleasing cheats, and gilded baits of sin, which swallowed as delicious meats infect and rot within. Lord, pardon a backslider base, returning from the dead, ashamed to show his shameful face, or lift his guilty head. Hymn 860.
friends, the collection this evening is for the Trinitarian Bible Society. And there's just a few, very, very briefly, a few things I would just bring to your attention concerning the society. I have said that through the Lord's mercy, we are now in William Tyndale House, in their new building, in Deer Park Lane. Things are gradually settling down, but with the expected teething problems you expect in any new building. We hope to hold an open day and Thanksgiving service on September the 13th, February 2016. Sorry, Saturday the 13th of February 2016, if the Lord will. Due to the relocation at 29 Deer Park Road, there is a disruption at the moment to orders. But they hope you will have patience in any orders placed, particularly at this time of year. They will be processed as quickly as possible. Of course, their very important work is the promotion of Bible translations, which are accurate and trustworthy. Over the years, the Society has expanded its translation work so that they have scriptures available in almost 40 languages and ongoing translation projects in a further 20 languages. And they are very pleased to be able to report that the revised work on the Romanian Bible was concluded in August, and the initial proofreading has now begun, and it is hoped that it will be published before the end of 2016. You may know of their deputation speaker, Mr. David Allen, who labours very much in going about from place to place on behalf of the Trinitarian Bible Society, that he is quite ill at the moment with lymphoma and has had to cancel all engagements. He's now dealing with the effects of chemotherapy, and the last cycle of which will conclude early in 2016. He has said that the treatments are physically shattering. He's finding even brief conversations and telephone calls exhausting. And it is too early at this stage to state when or if David Allen will resume his work. David has been a vital resource in promoting the work of the TBS. And the TBS, as say, reference is made, that's in the coming quarterly record, for the need of additional staff at the Society's headquarters in London. The Society has been understaffed in certain areas of its activities for several years. And when staff become ill or retire, there's a need for replacement. Prayers are therefore especially sought that the Lord may be pleased to incline spiritually minded and qualified younger generation persons who have a vision for the work to apply at any time for vacant posts. So, dear friends, we pray to the Lord that he will own and bless still this work of the Trinitarian Bible Society and grant all necessary resources, whether financial or in people, that the work can continue on, that the word of God shall go forth into all nations, and that he shall bless it. Let us turn to the word of God. And may the Lord help us and apply the truth of his word, as I would direct your attention to a verse we find in the Gospel of John, chapter 5 and verse 39. The Gospel of John, chapter 5 and verse 39. Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. This is more than an exhortation, isn't it? It's a command. Search the scriptures. Although the Lord Jesus was speaking to a specific people at this time, dear friends, it has a universal application. If we're to have a hope of eternal life and be delivered from an eternal death, search the scriptures. For in the scriptures is revealed the way of eternal life, the way that leads from destruction, death and despair, unto hope and glory and everlasting peace. And that is attained only through one way. They testify of me, says Jesus. He who is the way, the truth, and the life. Dear friends, how thankful we should be, should we not, for the scriptures. For there is no other book, or book of books, should I say, that points the way of salvation, to be saved from God's wrath, which shall at the end of time be poured out upon all the earth, that everything shall be destroyed where sin abounds. And there's only one place where sin will not abound, and that's in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, revealed in the hearts of sinners, those to whom the scriptures have not been a dead word just in the mind, but a living word in the heart. Oh, what a needful prayer, isn't it? From the youngest to the eldest of us. Make thy word, Lord, a living word within my heart. Deliver me from nature's darkness. Bring me into the light and understanding of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Notice these words which Jesus said to these Jews at this time. For in them ye think ye have eternal life. These Jews were unbelievers in Jesus Christ. They were believers in the scriptures, but in the covenant of works. They were believers in eternal life, that they would gain all that, a great enjoyment Oh, in the presence of God, through their own righteousness. And dear friends, they were very earnest. These must have been the Pharisees, the elders of the Pharisees. They weren't the Sadducees, because they did not believe in the resurrection and eternal life. But Jesus had said to them very solemnly in the verse before, ye have not his word abiding in you. Ye have not his word abiding in you. Oh, what a solemn state to be. Dear friends, how that searches us out, doesn't it? We read the scriptures. We know much of the scriptures, perhaps by heart. We know a tremendous about the doctrines in our heads. And we can debate them. We may even be doctors of theology. But does the word abide in our heart? Dear friends, this is where we need it, isn't it? The truth, as it is in Jesus, abiding in our heart. Now do note this. When Jesus here mentions the scriptures, he's referring to what we call the Old Testament. The New Testament scriptures were not in being. Jesus is referring to the Old Testament. Now, some modern churches, and you young people may have come across some who attend them. They say they don't read the Old Testament. They only read the New. The Old Testament has no relevance anymore. Well, dear friends, it's true that the New Testament has fulfilled the Old, but it has not destroyed the Old. Jesus did not come to destroy the law. He came to fulfill it. The New Testament is the fulfilling of that which is revealed and spoken of in the Old. And dear friends, there's much profit in the Old Testament. When the Lord Jesus drew near to those two on the Emmaus Road, they were sad. They were cast down. They were full of unbelief and fear. Their hopes had been destroyed. Oh, they thought this one who had been crucified was the one whom redeemed Israel. They had their own thoughts and their own minds concerning these things. But now things had taken place which they'd never thought would come to pass. And it was now the third day since these things took place. And they'd heard some say he was risen from the dead, the women, but dear friends, they believe not. And you know, that's our hearts, isn't it? We cannot believe in and of ourselves. When we apply our minds, our finite minds, our fallen minds to the things of Scripture, oh, we soon get perhaps into confusion. We need revelation. Now, when Jesus revealed the truth to those two on the Emmaus Road, he began at Moses and the prophets and all the Scriptures, that was the Old Testament, and declared unto those two on the Emmaus Road the things concerning himself. And what a gracious effect that had. Their heart burned within them while he talked with them by the way. You know, dear friends, when we turn to the Old Testament, and the of the blessed influence of the Holy Ghost. And we see in that Old Testament the things of Jesus. And we are guilty sinners. Perhaps without hope, where we are without hope in and of ourselves, aren't we? And cast down. Oh, what a sweet burning sensation. There can come as we see the truth. As it is in Jesus. And today to see it in the privilege we have of the New Testament. Fully revealed, fulfilled in the work of Christ. Oh, may the Lord reveal his word savingly to each one of your souls and confirm it where he has already begun that work. Now we're not told the words Jesus spoke. But we're told that he, beginning at Moses and the prophets, spoke of all that testified of him in the scriptures. Dear friends, I wonder, perhaps he did, he began at the beginning. For Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And therefore we begin with sin, don't we? And that's at the very beginning of the books of Moses. Oh, how we need to be taught, don't we? The depth of sin. I don't think perhaps we shall ever realise within our own hearts how deep we have fallen. When Adam and Eve sinned, some say, oh, it was only a light sin. They just took of a fruit which they were told not to eat. But how great was that fall of man? It may have been just in one sense a simple disobedience. But oh, that simple disobedience, what a great power of sinful nature came in. The innocency of man and woman was lost. They knew their guilt, they'd lost their peace. They'd lost the sweet communion they had with God. They sought to hide themselves from him. And when God came, they were hiding themselves, could not bear to look upon him as they had done before. And they could not confess their sin. Have you noticed that? Adam, where art thou? Adam's answered. Hast thou eaten of the fruit? The Lord knew they had. The woman whom thou gavest me, she gave unto me, and I did eat. Not my fault, it's that woman you gave me. And to Eve, what hast thou done? The serpent beguiled me. It's not my fault, it's his fault. Dear friends, do you find that nature in you? So ready to give excuses, make excuses, because of our guilt. It's not our fault. You know, that's the nature of sin. No one has to tell a child how to behave like that, do we? The nature of sin is within. That fear, that dread. Oh, it has come to pass. That great separation from the oneness, the blessedness with God. And then came murder, violence. And so we see the effect of that nature of sin coming in. And so in Adam's race we all die. But oh, the grace, the love, and the mercy of God. who spoke to that serpent. The seed of the woman shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Dear friends, this bruising of the serpent's head was the destruction of his power. The bruising of the heel of this seed of the woman was a suffering. A suffering that had to be undertaken to pay the price of sin for those guilty souls. We read, don't we, in the Old Testament, it pleased the Lord to bruise him. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. Oh, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. There is no other way that you and I can be saved from the wrath that is to come because of our sin. That he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Dear friends, what a mercy the Lord has a people for whom Christ came. Faithful that had promised, the seed of the woman. And so we read, don't we, in the Old Testament, in the Scriptures, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. Thou shalt call his name Emmanuel. There's only one Emmanuel. God with us. He, the second person, as we call it, in the Godhead, in the Trinity, sent to be made a little lower than the angels, to be born of a woman, to be born of a virgin, fulfilled through Mary, whom the Holy Ghost would overshadow, and that holy thing that is born of thee shall be called the Son of God. What did that fulfill? Yes. A virgin shall conceive. But also in the Psalms, this day, the Lord said, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Unto us, oh what a word that is, us, a son is born. Unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. Not the government of this earth in an earthly sense, but the government over sin, over the power of Satan. The governance of the work of salvation. That way which leads sinners to everlasting life. The government shall be upon his shoulder. He shall bear the sins of many. And he shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God. He is God. The Everlasting Father. One with the Father in him. One with the Spirit in him. Even in his sacred humanity, he was still one in the Godhead. But oh, what a condescension. To bear the sins of many. The Prince of Peace. The Prince of Peace. That was the declaration when Christ was born, wasn't it? The angels, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Dear friends, that peace was not the prosperity of earthly things. That was the peace on earth to guilty sinners, called to believe in Christ. Called by grace and the knowledge of his Son revealed within them. What do we read in the Old Testament? Jacob blessing his sons, coming to Judah, pronouncing the blessing concerning the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And then speaking of until Shiloh come. until Shiloh come. And if you look at the meaning of that word Shiloh, it means peace. My peace I give unto you. My peace I leave with you. All this peace is only found through the death, the sufferings, the paying of the price for sin of the Lord Jesus Christ. As we sometimes will often sing, maybe, peace by his cross, as Jesus brought. We read, don't we, concerning Jesus, of his sacred humanity, to bring about this peace, he was to be of the seed of Abraham. Now it was confirmed to Abraham that in his seed should all the nations of the earth be blessed. Now when you read that confirmation, what does it follow? Where was Abraham when that confirmation came? He was on Mount Moriah. He'd been drawn there, sent there, and Abraham obeyed to sacrifice Isaac. Now, dear friends, we know that in the law, there's a very solemn judgment and very solemn law and precepts concerning the firstborn. All the firstborn that one possesses, the firstborn of their increase, of cattle and so forth, is to be the Lord's. And they're sacrificed unto God. They had to bring them. They were slain. All except that which was of an ass, which was to be redeemed with a lamb. And if it was not redeemed with a lamb, then the ass's neck was to be broken. It was to be killed itself, sacrificed. Now Isaac was the firstborn of Abraham and Isaac, Abraham and Sarah. And the Lord tempted Abraham to go and sacrifice his son Isaac, the firstborn. And Abraham obeyed Isaac, saying, Father, here is the wood and here is the fire, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Oh, that word of faith of Abraham, my son, God shall provide himself a lamb. Dear friends, Abraham wasn't tempted above what he could able to bear, was he? Oh, the Lord, through his faith, made that way to escape, that as he went, even though he was got the knife to slay Isaac, the Lord stopped him. And there was that ram caught in the thicket. And the Lord said to Abraham, because thou hast obeyed. He knew that Abraham feared God. Yes, Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Oh, but that statement, God shall provide himself a lamb. We come to the New Testament, don't we? The words of John the Baptist. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. The one who was to be the redeemer of the souls of all those whom God gave unto Christ, unto him. That taketh away the sin of the world. Dear friends, that's the sin of the world's inner seed, isn't it? Oh, there is no other word. There is another way that you can be found clean in that last day. You think in the scriptures, don't we, of the way Israel was redeemed out of the land of Egypt. It was not through the mighty hand of God in destroying Egypt with all those plagues, bring them into great trouble and sorrow. It was when the angel of death was to go out upon the night and there was to be death in every house in Egypt of the firstborn. Except in those houses where there had already been a redemption. Where there always been already been a sacrifice, that which was believed on by faith, and the Lamb was slain, a Lamb, the Lamb, your Lamb, as you find it in Exodus chapter 12. And they shed that blood, daubed it over the doorpost. They went in, they ate that night, and they waited, sheltering beneath the token of the blood upon the lintels and the doorposts. Dear friends, they sheltered there by faith. No earthly logic was there that that could deliver them from the wrath which was to come. But it did, because it was the word of God, it was the way of God. It was the declared way of salvation at that time, and what a type that was of the coming of the Paschal Lamb of God. Christ our Passover, sacrificed for us, or to believe on him who endured the cross, despising the shame. Guilty sinners, to look unto him. Well, we have that again in the scriptures, don't we, of the Old Testament. When Israel sinned, bitten with sin, and the sting of death was in them, nothing to cure it but to look by faith to that brazen serpent lifted up upon the pole by Moses in accordance with the word of God. To look by faith to that which was made like unto the serpents, the sting of sin. Jesus said, as Moses lifted up the wilderness, lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Look unto me and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth. Oh, this wonderful redemption. This wonderful saving grace. This redeeming love in the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't find it anywhere else, do you? You won't find it in any other religion, will you? Oh, what God hath done for sinners through Jesus Christ. Sinners such as we. Called to believe, to search the scriptures and to see this sacred truth. Oh, there illuminated to our eyes, our minds, our hearts, our understanding. There to lose ourselves in that love of Christ. You know, when the children of Israel came out of Egypt, they came to that place called Sinai. That was the place where God gave them the law, the covenant of works. And the mountain smoked, and they were on fire. And lest anything touch that mountain, it would be slain, even a beast. So holy was the place. Moses alone went up that mountain, didn't he? Called up there by God and given the law, the covenant of works, which no man was able to attain. Oh, how solemn if we trust in the law for our righteousness, then we are debtors to do the whole law. And if we're guilty in one point, it's the same as being guilty in all. So holy is the law of God. The people came and said unto Moses, they feared. The holiness of God, and not to let this happen again. And this is what Moses said when they reached the end of the edge of the promised land. He says, "The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me. Unto him ye shall hearken, according to all that thou desirest of the Lord thy God in Horeb," at Sinai, "in the day of the assembly, saying, Let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire any more, that I die not. The Lord said, They have well spoken that which they have spoken. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him." Well, that's what Christ testified of, wasn't it? He spoke the words that the Father had given him, and did the work the Father gave him to do. And the Apostle Paul, having this truth revealed in him by the Holy Ghost, says, "We are not come unto Mount Sinai, to that mount that could not be touched, which burnt with fire and smoke and thunder, or at the giving of the holy law, but we are come unto Mount Zion, and unto Jesus." Oh, well, you can read those part of Hebrews chapter 12 yourself. Come unto Mount Zion and unto Jesus, the Saviour of sinners. The covenant of works replaced, overturned by the covenant of grace, in accordance with the promise in the Scriptures of the Old Testament. Oh, our dear friends, it's sweet to see these things revealed and fulfilled. That our hope is now built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. The Apostle John, in that vision he had on the Isle of Patmos, looked and saw the Lamb that had been slain on Mount Zion, the place of sacrifice. Dear friends, that's where David came, wasn't it? That's where David came when he'd sinned in the numbering of the people, and oh, how he desired to fall into the hand of the Lord, for there was mercy. And David was told to go and sacrifice on the threshing floor of Araunah. And we're told that threshing floor of Araunah was the same as Mount Moriah, where the Lord shall provide himself a lamb. And there the temple was built. There was to be the Holy of Holies. There was to be the entering in for the sacrifice for sin. And Christ, the sacrifice, the Lamb of God. Dear friends, he tore that veil apart, didn't he? From the top to the bottom. That sinners that believe on him can enter into the Holy of Holies through his shed blood to obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of their need. All this gracious work of the Lord Jesus Christ, who declared when he returned to Nazareth, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of the prison to them that are bound." Dear friends, does this speak of any of you tonight? Does that describe you in your current state? Spiritually, what are you bound? Are you bound through the fear of death? We read of that, don't we, in Paul's epistle to the Hebrews. Those who all their lifetime were subject to bondage. They are the ones whom Christ came to destroy the power of Satan and set them at liberty, to raise them up, dear friends, from their great fear and burden of sin to a glorious kingdom. Oh, these are his people. These are the ones, dear friends, who fear the Lord. They tremble at the word of God. They are contrite, they are poor in spirit, but they are his. To appoint unto them that, to mourn in Zion, to give unto them a beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning. Who do we read that mourn? They upon whom the Spirit of grace and of supplication is poured out. And they shall look upon him, this Jesus, whom they have pierced. This is in the Old Testament, isn't it? They shall look upon him whom they have pierced and shall mourn for him as one mourneth for their only son. To mourn over one's sin and to mourn after Christ. These are the ones for whom Christ came. To open that fountain of sin and uncleanness. Oh, that's the next chapter of Zechariah, isn't it? Oh, dear friends, how we could go on and on and on, can't we, concerning these precious truths concerning Jesus in the Scriptures. These lovely Old Testament portions. It's sin and it's salvation. Oh, in the midst of the depths of iniquity, you find this lovely theme and thread of the grace of God flowing through. Who is this that cometh from Eden with dyed garments from Basra, that is glorious in his apparel? He that had trodden the winepress alone, he hath given, his life a sacrifice for sin, arising again triumphant from that glorious work, the great victor. He will not leave his soul in hell, he will not leave his holy one to see corruption, the prophecy in the Psalms. Oh, then the Psalms again, and Christ on the cross. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? My righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquity. And it's your iniquity that separates between you and your God. And this Jesus felt the same as he bore the sins of men. Delivered for our offences, raised again for our justification. That because I live, he says, ye shall live also. Dear friends, what a glorious justification. That's a righteousness, isn't it? We read of righteousness here. A robe of righteousness. The Lord's people whom we see and is revealed in their hearts concerning this truth, they call Jesus Jehovah Sitkenu, the Lord our righteousness. And that's declared in Jeremiah 23, in that day, of the righteous branch of David, of the seed of David as well as of Abraham. This is the name whereby he shall be called the Lord our righteousness. And then 10 chapters later, exactly the same words in that day, this branch of the seed of David. And this is the name whereby she shall be called. It's referring to Jerusalem, the Lord's people. The Lord our righteousness, the same title. The marriage bond, the bride taking on the name of the bridegroom. And we read here, didn't we, in chapter 61, about the glorious garments of the bridegroom and of the bride. He hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He's covered me with the robe of righteousness, the wedding garment. Dear friends, you'll never take it off you. Oh, what a work. Your sins to be remembered no more. Thou art all fair, my love, there's no spot in thee. In all our affliction, he was afflicted. The angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity, he redeemed them. And he bare them and carried them all the days of old. Oh, search the scriptures. For in them ye think, dear friends, we know we have eternal life. They testify of Christ. Dear friends, can you testify of Christ? Christ within, the hope of glory. What did we read? I will mention the loving kindnesses of the Lord and the praises of the Lord according to all that the Lord hath bestowed on us and the great goodness toward the house of Israel, his chosen people, which he hath bestowed on them according to his mercies and according to the multitude of his loving kindnesses. Dear friends, is there any sweeter theme than the love of Christ for needy sinners? They that come unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Oh, search the scriptures. In them ye think ye have eternal life. They testify of me. When we come to the scriptures, oh, do pray the Lord will grant his Holy Spirit to reveal the sacred truth within your heart. And may that heart then be that broken and a contrite heart that's poured out before him in humble confession. For such hearts the Lord heals. The Lord blesses. The Lord has redeemed them. And they shall be carried at the end of time to be with him in glory. The Lord bless his word to you. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Timothy Rosier will preach next Lord's Day and Mr. Pickett on Friday evening next week. Let us close with hymn 136. Dear refuge of my weary soul, on thee when sorrows rise, on thee when waves of trouble roll, my fainting hope relies. 136.
Thank you.
O Lord, do bless thine own word unto us. Help us to search the Scriptures, that we may not only know its quickening power, but that we may grow in grace and the knowledge of thee, our Lord, and be established in the way that is everlasting. Bless the work of the Trinitarian Bible Society. And Lord, as it is distributed, may each reader be a true searcher and find everlasting life. Oh, we commend these things to thee in this wicked world. Lord, still have mercy upon us. Watch over us as we separate. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost abide with us each, now and forevermore. Amen.